Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, John Kaminsky, and this morning's conversation is with the State of Wisconsin's Chief Information Officer, Matthew Machevsky. Matt, our listeners may not know how much information, as well as citizen services, are available on the State of Wisconsin website. Could you give our listeners a sense of the cutting-edge aspects of your website?
There's a couple of things with regard to what we call the Wisconsin Government Portal, which is at www.wisconsin.gov. The current incarnation of the portal was developed under Governor Tommy Thompson's leadership to move us towards information services that that were needed in the state of Wisconsin, and it was a great effort at the time. The portal as it stands right now is a great way to get information about government in the state of Wisconsin, as well as federal government information from time to time as well. All of the departments within state government are represented on the portal and have their own separate area where they can distribute both information as well as distribute online applications. And the it runs the panoply. I mean, you can renew your driver's license online at the portal. You can renew several of your other licenses online at the portal. You can get several pieces of information that you need to get to do business with state government on the portal. One of the exciting things that we did when we first came on was started something called the Build Your Own Business part of the Wisconsin.gov portal, which allows small and emerging businesses to basically go to one place and get all the information they need to create a business in the state of Wisconsin and then manage that business moving forward. And that's really our commitment, is to create a kind of one area where folks can go to get all of the information that they need to transact business in the state of Wisconsin. Mm-hmm.
You're well known within the Chief Information Officer community for your push for one-stop shopping at the state website. Where are you in the process of implementing your plans?
That's the second part of what I was going to talk about. The existing Wisconsin.gov is a great resource for the state, but it really needs to be augmented. We're in the middle of the process right now of getting ready to launch the Wisconsin.gov portal 2 in the next few months. And that is going to concentrate much more on information service delivery and application delivery, and a little bit less on information, strictly informational delivery. Our commitment has been this one-stop shopping idea, and will continue to be this one-stop shopping idea, because our ultimate customers in state government, the taxpayers of the state of Wisconsin, don't care that there's a difference between DOT and DNR and the other departments that we have. They simply know that they need to get a license for them to be able to get their RV, take it fishing. They have to get a license for the fishing, and they have to get all of those things in different places. The idea of having a portal is that we're able to eliminate those differences. You don't have to travel anymore to DMV to get one license, to license your boat at a different place at the Department of Transportation or the Department of Natural Resources, depending upon the size of the vehicle. We think that folks in the state of Wisconsin look at government as one entity, and we should reflect that in the services that we offer back. And so the more that we can give folks one place to go for local government interactions, for state government interactions, and for federal government interactions where it's possible, it's better for everybody involved.
So it's organized around the service, not around the organization or the agency.
Yeah. For years, we thought it was important for us to have these distinguishing silos, that the stuff that happened at DOT happened at DOT and nowhere else. And we realized after doing focus group work that the citizens simply didn't look at state government that way. In fact, many of them had no idea that there were different places that you needed to go to get things. And when we originally structured some of our portals, we basically mirrored the silos that we have. We found it much more effective for citizens to not do that, basically giving them the ability to ask the portal, where do you want to go? In response to that, they say, I'm going to go on a trip. I need to get the licensing. I need to make that happen. Or I'm moving into southeastern Wisconsin. What do I need to do to establish residency in the state of Wisconsin to make sure everything's taken care of? And the portal will come back with responses that they need.
Well, how do you wind up getting citizen feedback to help structure that?
We actually specifically interact with citizens. There's a couple of formats. One is with feedback forms that we've got on Wisconsin.gov and the project for the portal replacement website, where folks can interact anonymously from a citizen standpoint, let us know what their opinions are. But we also purposefully go out and do focus groups as well as other work to gather requirements from citizen stakeholders. Citizen stakeholders are and taxpayer stakeholders are the primary concern that we've got. But in developing the new portal, we also made an effort to go to nonprofit groups, to go to the business community, and to go to other organizations that would regularly interact with state government and say, what is it that you need to get out of a portal? And so you do need to make that conscious effort to go and talk to citizens to make sure that you understand what their needs are.
Well, when I visited your website, I noticed that you have like different ways of cutting the pages so that you can be a business person or you can be a citizen or you can be a tourist or something like
yeah.
that.
Kind of the way that most of the states have found that the portals carve up the best is by functional area. And if you want to and there are distinct groups. I mean, citizen groups have got a certain set of needs. Corporate groups have got a totally different set of needs and need to have a different portal face for folks to interact with. And nonprofit groups generally have another set of needs as well. We mirror that within our organization as well. We've got a government to citizen group. We've got a government to business group. We've got a government to employee group as well. We've got several intern. We've got with 64,000 state employees. You can imagine that we've got a lot of communicating that we need to do internally
yeah.
as well.
Yeah. What's the most common feedback that you get from citizens?
With the frustration with the current portal infrastructure that we have is the inability to quickly find either information or services that you need. And so that's been taken into account by the new redesign. And a lot of that feedback will be built into the new portal to make sure that that ease of interaction is really one of the primary goals, especially for the citizen-facing portion of it. Not that ease of action for the business-facing portion is not important, but the business community seems to care a little bit more about functionality, making sure that that's there and that's solid as opposed to necessarily ease of use. So it's important for us to segment our markets the same as it is for folks in the private sector, and we need to deliver our services in different ways to citizen groups than we do for business groups.
Okay. We understand that one focus of the one-stop shopping approach was to combine the sources of data for law enforcement. Could you describe a little bit about what this effort does and any results you've seen to date?
Yeah, there's two separate efforts to that are extremely important in the justice community. I sit on the policy advisory group for what's called WIJIS, which is the Wisconsin Justice Information Sharing System. And really, it's a commitment. Governor Doyle came from several years as the Attorney General for the state of Wisconsin and has a deep commitment to the justice community. And justice information sharing is a way for law enforcement officials to have a complete picture of the information that they need when they are interacting with individuals in the field. What's happened in the past is that the data that that law enforcement officers have is old. It's not necessarily as up to date as it needs to be, and it's certainly not real time. And you know, several other states have had problems where folks there would be an escape incident and the real time system wasn't in place. They would pull, an officer would pull over that individual, give them a ticket, but not interact in any other way. And that's what we're trying to avoid in Wisconsin, to give those law enforcement officials the complete picture that we can possibly have for criminal activity. Now, the challenge there is privacy, and we take that very seriously in the state. We need to make sure that when we are sharing information across systems that the privacy of the individual is respected at all times. And it's a constant struggle to find out where exactly that mark is. But the folks that are running the WIJIS system and on the policy advisory group have a deep commitment to the privacy community as well, to protect privacy while we're still protecting our law enforcement officials.
And does this tie back to the U.S. Department of Homeland Security's efforts?
It does. The justice information work that we do, I sit on the U.S. Attorney General's advisory group for global justice and information systems. And this does tie back directly to that. A lot of the work that we do is funded by DHS, and a lot of the guidance that we get comes from the Department of Homeland Security. So it's one of their primary drivers, and one of the things that I talk about a lot is before September 11th, Muhammad Atta was pulled over by a Florida trooper, and we didn't have this sort of integration in Florida. And if we had, I don't know that it would have necessarily stopped the attacks on September 11th, but it certainly would have been better than the outcome that we did get.
Mm-hmm. Most Americans are aware of the squeeze on most state government operations due to shrinking budgets. How much of an issue is this today in Wisconsin, and what kind of impact would this have on your future plans?
Shrinking budgets are a concern for everyone within state government, but it would assume – to have it be a primary concern, it would assume that the size of the state budget before was at the appropriate size. If that's not the assumption going in and there's the potential for elimination of waste, which is good for nobody, the shrinking state budget is probably not necessarily a bad thing. The challenge, though, is to make sure of a few things. First, that needed services are provided in a way that is not only cost-effective but actually effective for folks. We have absolutely no interest in damaging the service delivery that our Workforce Development Department or Health and Family Services Department are delivering to the citizens of the state of Wisconsin. So we need to make sure that there's adequate funding there. In order for us to continue to keep that promise to Wisconsin citizens, we have to be extremely aggressive in terms of back office operations to make sure that we're not wasting money on unnecessary projects, on unnecessary hardware and software, or on business processes that cost us money for no particular reason. We used to, for instance, do our purchasing in 52 different ways. We do it in one way now because we simply aggregate that demand up. In some areas in IT, the desktops that we buy now, we buy off of one contract as opposed to the 52 different contracts that we've had. We're able then to take the money that we save from that process and put it into education. We were able to fully fund education without raising taxes. We were able to fully fund local government expenditures as well without raising taxes because we were so aggressive with regard to the back office operations.
One of the statements I've heard from people in the federal government is the catchphrase was buy once, use many times.
Oh, absolutely. Reuse is in terms of IT, we love reuse. I mean, that's part of a cultural change that we are adopting within state government and IT, but we need to do it as well in other functional areas. Is instead of buying brand new things every 6 months, we need to make sure that we reuse things as much as possible.
Well, that's a great insight. How is Wisconsin implementing a recently passed federal law called the Real ID Act? We will ask Chief Information Officer Matthew Machevsky to explain this to us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.